from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
So to go back to Fields, I know we're talking about him. I wonder what the ceiling really is. I know the athletic ability is tantalizing. Clearly the arm's tantalizing. The character is great too, which I think people like when he's a high character guy. I think Russell Wilson, the second he gets back, is going to do the things Mike Tomlin wants him to do. He'll get out on the move a little bit like Smith wants his quarterbacks to get out, and he'll make the simple play pretty routinely.
I think that this Wilson calf injury is bigger than they're letting on.
Do
I think they're trying to downplay
the scenes
it.
Telling you
no,
that, or are
I just,
you just going by what you see?
Just
the way they're acting about it.
Just use common sense here. We know that Russell Wilson is a huge team guy. We know that he loves practice. We know that he loves the things you do right now to get ready for a football season. This is not day 12 of Steelers training camp. Yesterday was opening day. It was the first day. You think if he has like a little tiny injury, he's not at least going out there because he so badly wants it to just do a couple of offensive team snaps and then get out of there? I think he is. I think Tomlin knows that about him too. I don't know. That's just so outside of his
MO
that I think that there is a bigger injury there.
I'm not going to poo-poo it because your spider sense on these sort of things is often correct, whether you have something from somebody.
I mean, if Ben took the first 2 days off because he had some kind of little tiny calf injury, I would think nothing of it because Ben really, at this point in his career, had very little use for training camp.
Did not feel like
I think Russell Wilson, at least this persona that he has.
Well, he's trying to make a good impression on a new team. That's the other thing. Like, to support your point here, I'm saying Ben did not have to make a good impression on anybody.
But Chris, he didn't have to tell them that he hurt his calf. He went to them and said, something's not right here.
Well, you know what? Now that you said that, I thought of this. I'm going to give you
more credit. That's what makes me think it's a more serious injury. I don't mean like super serious, but
might keep him out a week or two.
Yeah.
Here's something else. Was the first story not that he slept on it wrong and woke up with it sore? Wasn't that the very first? Because we were laughing about mattresses. We were joking about that.
I don't know if you just put two and two together, and that's why the calf was sore.
I could have swore that there was something about like when he woke up, it was sore, and I just laughed and said maybe it's a bad mattress. But I guess what's come out since then is more like he kind of knew he hurt it when he hurt it. Is that how you interpret it? Like when he was pushing the sled, he kind of knew something had happened.
That's what he said in the clip that it happened there. We have more audio from Wilson. This is him. Intern Dom has it on his unique workout. Why is a quarterback doing sled pushes when practice is about to start?
Coach Tomlin talked about the uniqueness of your workouts in the weight room. Could you kind of elaborate on that?
I don't go into great detail in terms of what style of workouts all the time, but, you know, I definitely get after it, as you know. And, to be able to play as long as I have, you got to be, you got to train, you know, physically, you got to be able to do all the stuff. And So I've always trained really hard, as you know. And so in terms of those details of the workouts, you know, lots of squats, lots of single leg stuff, a lot of, you know, jumping and moving around, keeping the heart rate up, just, you know. But yeah, it's been a really good off season for me. You know, unfortunately, I didn't get to go out here the first day, which stinks.
More antithesis of Ben, where he's doing these things, and Ben would have injuries more so from just taking, you know, massive hits over and over again.
Ben survived a lot of awkward hits and awkward plays where, like, limbs would bend in a way where you would think that no way is he going to survive this without a torn ACL.
I just don't. Have you seen Mahomes without his shirt on? Like, the guy's
Dad obviously
working hard, but he's working smart. I think his people are telling him you don't need to have six-pack abs and be completely jacked to play the quarterback position at a high level. Brady was all about pliability. He was not
The older Brady got, the less he lifted weights. Wilson was boxing and stuff. Like, Wilson
Fields too is trying to get all jacked up. You see the pictures of him with his shirt off. He's trying to get yoked. I don't want yoked quarterback.
Well, here's the thing. If you're an athlete like Fields who's going to run the ball, you need to be able to take punishment, because it's part of his game is he's going to run like a running back.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. That's a good point.
The Wilson thing is, you know what's weird about him? Brady had his goofy TB12 stuff, but it clearly worked, right? And he was also protected. He was a pure pocket guy. It made sense. Remember the stories about Wilson in Denver his first year? He bulked up, I think it was, because he thought he needed to be, like, physically bigger. And then the second year where it went a little better, he had slimmed back down. He seems like a guy, believe it or not, in his mid-30s trying to figure out right now what the best version of a 35-year-old Russell Wilson looks like. Yeah. Like, you, clearly, you're pushing the sled, but you have a defined end goal. He's changed his body type, it looks like.
Well, that's because
like
I was slovenly.
Times.
I'm trying to get out of that period of my life.
Have you hurt a calf while pushing a sled?
No, calves have been good. It's joints.
I would worry about groin pushing the sled. The groin.
Groin, tremendous. Groin, maybe never been better.
Wow. Thanks to Regenesis.
Groin is at a place.
Place where groins rarely go.
Yeah. I think new heights.
The podcast. The Kelsey podcast.
The groin.
His groin will be appearing on the New Heights
if
podcast.
If somebody asked me for just give us a groin.
Update.
I'd say 10 out of 10.
I actually pulled a groin the way. The way athletes do.
Congratulations on all your success.
Probably it's pony. It's legitimately like 10 years ago now that it happened.
Still bugs you?
No. It lingered for like 2.5 months. I have no idea, even with all the medical access these guys have and therapies and treatments and what have you, I have no idea how anybody plays with one of those. Like, you hear about guys playing through like a somewhat pulled groin. I don't know how it's possible. You can't move.
How
laterally.
About strained groin? That sounds even worse.
All of it, yeah. Anything
you don't
there,
want to strain it.
You can't strain it. You can't pull it. You can't move.
How about tweak? I think
tweak is just the first step on the dark road down to pull and strain, you know, territory.
Can you rip a groin?
Yeah, you can tear it completely. Torn groin.
Right off.
I think I'd rather rip it off and just let me have that old groin hanging there. Just let one side of that groin just sit there and flap in the breeze.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. Open phone Friday coming up next. That means you can weigh in on whatever you want. Pirates trade deadline stuff, state of the Bucks, Steelers training camp, observations, Justin Fields getting the first team reps right now. Do you want Justin Fields to run with the job? Is he the future at quarterback for the Steelers? 412-928-9370. On the day that Tua gets a big contract extension from Miami. We have a report from DK Pittsburgh Sports that the Steelers are, quote, convinced they're going to get Brandon Ayuk, DK Metcalf, or Tyreek Hill. So that is floating out there as well. Apparently, Troy Fautanu was out there with the first team at right tackle a little bit, Malzi.
Really?
So he did at least get some chance there, I guess, in 7-on-7 drills at the goal line. They put the rookie. We did not get a chance to ask Mark about how it went for him, but
that's good news. To be fair, even without having asked Mark,
on day two, to at least give him a look there. Absolutely.
That, you know what? That is a deeply encouraging sign for somebody like me that worried about the Dan Moore experience. I think the fact that he's out there on day two actually means that everyone who said Ray Fittipaldo told us he thinks it's Jones and Fautanu. I agree with that. I have faith now.
Call in now, be a part of Open Phone Friday. The best call in the next segment is going to win tickets to a big event next month. So we're even giving you an incentive to be a part of our caller-driven segment. It happens once a week where you pick the topic, 412-928-9370. We are live at the HM3 CareFest, where in a couple hours, you're going to hear Pat Benatar perform during Donnie's show. That is going to be electric. That was Amanda's first contract concert to see Pat Benatar. I wish I could stay and watch Miss Benatar. I was hoping we got Miss Benatar on the show.
Well, you know what, though? She performed her sound check, and
it was incredible.
Big chunks of some of her biggest hits. So we got like a private show, in a sense.
412-928-9370. Back with you, Dan Zangrilli, at 5:30, but right now an intern Dom headline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you have the heart to call in and become a part of Open Phone Friday? We got some open lines. Best call is going to win tickets to a big event in Pittsburgh next month. We're at a big event right now that is the HM3 Care Fest tonight. Pat Benatar performs. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. George Pickens had an incident at practice yesterday where he got into a squabble with his wide receivers coach, then pouted after not getting the ball today. We asked our listeners on our Twitter poll question, are you worried about George Pickens? 59% said no. 41% said yes. Where would you come down on that? 412-928-9370. Who do you want the Pirates to add at the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. Early returns out of training camp. Justin Fields playing with the ones, making great plays, also missing the layups. Do you think he'll ever be a good starting quarterback for the Steelers? 412-928-9370. Here is Tom to start us off here on Open Phone Friday. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, hello, Pony. How are you? I'm the guy that gave you pizza at Valley Brook.
Yes.
And
at the golf tournament, Malzi played in that and was tremendous.
Yeah. Right, and you know what? I was sitting there thinking, look, you know, I think the three athletic guys, I also met Donnie, and I would have met, I would have met the Malzi, but he was sitting at the head table, you know, so
whoa.
I'm thinking, well, there's Malzi. He's sitting with the guy that organized it, him and his wife, and it was, I've been at Valley Brook for many years, but I got to tell you, it was the best golf tournament and banquet I was ever at. Those wounded warriors brought tears to my eyes, and
yeah.
I'm sure Malzi agreed.
However,
I knew it was Malzi because I saw the bald head.
Mm.
I met you two guys,
that giveaway.
And I have to say this, Pony. You have big shoulders, so I think you could take Malzi one-on-one in basketball without a doubt. Even though Malzi made 9 3-pointers, I've been listening for a long time. Donnie is just big. You know, he looked great losing all that weight. I wanted to see Malzi and all the weight he lost, but again, he was sitting down.
Well, we'll be back next year, Tom, so we'll see you again. Okay, Aaron, thank you for the pizza.
Okay, and I would like to say I was listening all day today. I think the one question you guys are asking, the Pirates definitely have to make a move. I mean, I've been a Pirate fan since 1960. I'm 69 years old. And I think the trade for the two outfielders from Florida is good. If they don't do that, then maybe the one, I like Winker. He was a Pirate killer when he was with Cincinnati. And so I would like to, you know, see that. And,
all right, Tom, we got you, brother. Thank you for
Well, the reason you'd beat me in one-on-one is you're 6'3". Giving up 3 inches in height.
But
there.
Would you do the thing that Joe did to me in our game of one-on-one,
I don't know
which
if
was
I
problematic?
Can, no, I don't know if I can sprint.
I pulled the intern Dom and was out partying the night before, and I was ill-prepared, even though you warned me, for the Joe strategy of just shoot the ball and run after the rebound as fast as humanly possible.
Could,
and that did a number on me.
He
won that war of attrition big time.
I don't know if I can sprint because I still don't really like trust in those short burst areas.
But that killed me, Chris.
You know what you could have done that would have stopped it? See him do it one time, quickly sense which direction he's going in. You put an elbow right in his solar plexus, I guarantee you he's not chasing that ball like he's Dennis Rodman anymore.
Could you imagine? I was going to say,
you could have just flattened him
if I injured Joe, but then he ended up getting injured on his own volition that day.
Yes, he did.
And then he was mad that I didn't go to the hospital with him.
Which is the weirdest part of that story.
He did give the thumbs up when he left
like
on a stretcher.
Like he was Mike Utley?
Yeah. But I also gave the thumbs up when I left on a stretcher when I thought I broke my back playing pickup basketball. Here's Jake next. Hello, Jake. Yes, Jake, you're on the air. You're on Open Phone Friday.
Today.
What's that?
Good to talk to you guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
I wanted to talk about the Steelers 2 situation.
Okay.
Is obsessed with Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. Have you guys ever given to any thought of Tyler Lockett?
He's on the back nine of his career, I think. He's not a big – he's a wide receiver too, but I don't know how good he is.
DK Pittsburgh Sports reported that there's a Steelers employee who thinks they're going to trade for Tyreek Hill. Would that excite you, Jake?
We don't want Tyreek Hill. Come on.
We don't want Tyreek Hill. Thank you, Jake. We're not getting Tyreek Hill, so we don't have to worry about that. If the Steelers got Tyreek Hill, they would go from a team that I think is going to win 8 or 9 games to more like 10 or 11.
Which means you probably think he's like –
I think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL, second best, behind Jefferson.
He's probably one of the only handful of guys that's not a quarterback that I could envision winning the MVP award and no one really complaining. He's that much of a game changer. I mean, he's terrifying for, like, actual
defense. Never happened in the modern era.
It probably should.
A wide receiver winning the MVP.
Well, he's like the prototype.
A kicker won the MVP, Mosley.
Yes, in 1982, strike shortened.
Here is one of our regulars, Dave in Delmont. He's always got a take. Hello, Dave.
Tony Mueller, thanks for taking my call.
Donnie just showed up, too. You want to say hi to him?
Yeah, hi, Donnie. He's been dissing me lately, so yeah, hi, Donnie.
Dave called in last week, Pony, one of the days you were out, and said first-time caller, and I was like, Dave, we talk to you every week, and he goes, I was just lightening the mood.
What do you got, Dave?
Kevin, I have a hard time understanding with the Pirates being a game out of the wild card, that we're like having a discussion whether they should pick people up. I mean, what other city and what other baseball team would have a discussion like that? I mean,
well, the Rays are 4 games out and they're selling players.
It's actually funny you mentioned that. Tampa Bay has the same number of wins, 52 wins, as the Pirates, and they have traded their best pitcher and one of their best hitters today, and they might do more. They have shed $30 million in payroll for next year, and they have not gotten the top 100 prospect back in either trade. But continue.
But they've had a little more success than the Pirates have in the past years, haven't they?
No doubt. They went to the World Series and pulled
That's
their starting pitcher who was cruising because they were worried about him facing the lineup for the third time and lost.
Right, and I would only say this because there isn't anybody that has as good a pitching staff as us. We just need a couple hitters. I don't care whether they think that we're doing it a year earlier or not.
So who do you want, Dave?
I want to get Rooker and get Chisholm. I don't care who you have to trade. Somebody explain to the Pirates that you don't get a trophy with hoarding as many prospects as they do. There's no trophy.
Well, you might actually get, like, Baseball America's front office of the year, but who gives a rat's ass about that? They might actually. I think there's a better chance Jim Rooker walks back to Pittsburgh
than Brent Rooker.
Than Brent Rooker at this
point.
Yeah,
because you can't bench or minimize Andrew McCutchen's role, even if you're doing it at the expense, so to speak, of a player who's one of the, 10 best offensive forces in baseball this year? Literally, Brent Rooker's OPS, top 10 in the whole league, right?
I mean, if you think you can get Rooker, you go to McCutchen and say, hey, man, here are his numbers. We got to play you less. You can't be offended or angered
by
this.
Or you just say, can you play right field more often for us? We'd like to keep your bat in the lineup. How do you feel about playing right field 2 or 3 days a week?
Here is a member of our lunatic fringe, Johnny the Barber. Hello, Johnny.
Hello. And I just wanted
What's
to
that
say,
in the background? Is that Benatar?
That is the sound of baby cherubs lifting the Lord's name up.
Sure it is.
I'm going to take you
to the woodshed, Chris. I'm tired of you stating that you were the one that come up with the Terry McLaurin idea coming to Pitt. You so stole that off me. I want money for it.
Johnny, I try actively to avoid your ideas and tweets. Why would I have stolen that from you?
I told you the same day you should pick up him and Michael Thomas. And you were like, oh, well, Michael Thomas is old. But then you took that little nugget I put in your head and you claimed it as your own.
Is that
wrong?
True?
No.
That's just dirty, man. That's just dirty.
What about Donnie Football? How do you feel about him?
Yeah, well, I want to meet him in a phone booth. What's his deal? I've been nothing but supportive to the kid. I've been nothing supportive to the kid.
Donnie just said kiss my ass. He just said kiss his robust ass.
Tell him bring it. Tell D3 to bring it.
Anything else?
O-H-I-O.
So is he just playing the fight song the whole time he's
I
on
think
hold,
so.
Hoping that we go to him?
Right,
while
I think
playing?
So. He does go after Donnie on Twitter, but I always assumed it was a work and not a shoot.
Did you know that he was, for I think one football season, the Buckeye, the mascot?
Johnny the Barber?
Yeah, I think he got fired like midseason, though, from it. Does that shock you?
It shocks me that he lasted till midseason.
I don't think he made it to the Michigan game.
Can you imagine what he would have done to Schembechler?
Here's Joe on the fan. Hello, Joe.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How's everything
hey,
doing?
Everything's good. We were listening to Pat Benatar earlier. She was quite good.
She rocks. Hey, I was listening to the Jim Rooker reference. I thought that was pretty cool, really.
Thank you.
Hey, you were also talking earlier about the top 10 hitters in the NFL. I'd like to hear our version, Steeler version, of the top 10 hitters. Maybe you throw that out there to some of the people out there listening.
Who would you put on there?
Greg Wood's got to be up there, man. I love Lambert. I'm 70 years old. I'll be 70 in a month. But Lambert, I love.
Here, I've got a quick top three for you then, based on this, Joe. In no particular order, I would put Lloyd, Ryan Clark, and Kendrell Bell.
Kendrell Bell hit. Yeah.
Kendrell Bell destroyed. Ryan Clark, I think, had no regard for his own body and was not a big guy, which is why I really
I mean, you'd have
him.
To put Harrison on there, too. I mean, the NFL was trying to, like, take all his money.
Correct. He's in the top four.
Lambert weighed 225. He was a hitter.
Now we can't find him.
I think Ronnie Lott is the greatest hitter in NFL history, though.
Joe, we're going to put you on hold. You just won yourself tickets to see the Pony League World Series at Lou Hayes Field, August 9th through August 14th, including the Washington County team, the home team. They play Sunday, August 11th. And I will be at that game. I think
they should let you throw out the first pitch.
Man, I'm seeing some first pitches that have gone awry with big-time either celebrities or athletes in the last couple of weeks. Feel even better about my first pitch for performance.
I mean, Rowanzi, RIP to his Pirates tenure, he's across the country now. He is on the West Coast, Dom. Said you had late movement
he
on
liked it.
It. He liked it. Did you see Beltre throw out the first pitch at the All-Star game?
Yeah, I was better than him.
Dude, he like didn't make any effort to throw it even close, and the guy's one of the best third basemen who ever lived.
A Bucko Minute with Dan Zangrilli next. He will tell us how close the Pirates are to making a big trade, but first, an Intern Dom headline. It's Bucko Minute time. 3 hours from now, Pirates and Diamondbacks start a big series in Arizona. Pittsburgh a half game behind the D-backs in the wild card race, a game and a half behind San Diego for the last wild card spot. The Padres had a no-hitter yesterday.
Cease and desist.
Yes, lot of Pirates trade deadline fodder. The Devil Rays, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, are in full on sell mode, even though they are a half game worse than the Pirates in the standings at 52-51. They have shed $30 million of payroll for next year. Zach Eflin, their best pitcher this season, and Randy Arozarena, last year All-Star Game Home Run Derby entrant, traded to Seattle. They did not get a top 100 prospect back in either deal.
They do things differently there. They evaluate players differently. They look for different things. They're much more, I think, a visionary franchise, not in necessarily always a good way, than like the A's were with Moneyball, where it was, hey, they also had Mulder, Hudson, and Zito. But even so, even saying all that about Tampa and their approach, yeesh.
Dan Zangrilli, Pirates pre- and post-game host with us. Dan, should the Pirates have been in on Arozarena?
Sure, why not? Yeah, he's controllable, right? Yep. I think he would have solved some of their issues, and I think there's a little bit of versatility there, the potential for there to be. I don't see why not.
Didn't give up a top 10 prospect in their organization
though
MLB.com.
What do they give up, 12 and 15? 12
and 15? There's a player to be named later eventually.
Okay, but
don't know who or what that is.
But 12 and 15, I think, went, correct?
Yep.
So that's a fairly steep price, I think, for Randy Arozarena. Do you
really?
Do you disagree with that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I mean, all 12 and 15s aren't created equal, but
no.
I think that's otherwise a fairly steep price.
All right, well, they might not be done selling. Would you like anybody else? What was it, Yandy Diaz?
Well, hold on a second. I want to just finish this with Dan here.
Yes, why don't you guys finish?
You said, what were the numbers, 13 and 12 and 15?
I think 12 and 15, yes.
So would you trade Hunter Barco and Yordani De Los Santos for Randy Arozarena?
Probably not Barco.
Really?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I mean, so is Arozarena. He's having the worst year
of his
career.
Does Hunter Barco
above average?
I mean, maybe one of those guys, perhaps, but not both. I mean, you're talking about you didn't give up a top 10, but you gave up two top 15s.
I mean, where does Barco fit in their plans long term for the Pirates?
I mean, maybe if there's one of those, but not two of those. So the price was two. Okay, and you're saying that, okay, they didn't give up a top 10, but they gave up two top 15s. What's the great – that's a fairly steep price because I don't think there's a great divide between 11 through 14.
All right. Do you have any more of a rejoinder here, Bonnie?
I mean, if you're just telling me I still get to keep my 11 best players in my organization and I'm adding a guy
– I'm with you on this, but I just wanted to make sure you and Dan were
done. Has hit 20-plus home runs three straight seasons. I think I'm doing that.
Right, I think that I'm saying it's a steep price, I think, for Randy Arozarena.
All right, what was it, John Feinstein?
Yes, Mark.
Mark Feinstein.
Not John
Feinstein.
Feinstein.
Yep, Mark Feinstein.
He's writing about Mike Krzyzewski again.
Yandy Diaz, the Pirates are interested in him. Your thoughts on that Tampa Bay Ray?
Absolutely, all for it. Bring him in.
What would you give up there?
Not a 12 and a 15.
Okay, give us a ballpark number of the prospect you would be comfortable
giving
up.
Man, you hoard prospects worse than Huntington, Dan.
No, I don't.
Call you Dan Charrington.
No way. Yeah, you can give up maybe somebody that's in the 15 to 20 ranking. That's, I think, fair for Yandy Diaz, who has 8 home runs, I think, this
year. Where's he play?
He plays first base.
Where's Tellez go?
Right, exactly. And I think there's a little position flexibility.
Well, that's why I say I wouldn't do that trade, because I don't want to put Rowdy on the bench right now, believe it or not.
Yeah, he might be able to play a little third, if I'm not mistaken. So,
well, where's Hayes go?
Well, not,
they're not
a third,
benching Hayes.
Not a
they're
third
not.
Base
He's got
for the 50, time being.
You think they'd bench a guy they owe $50 million to?
I mean, he's under control. Where's he going? What's the worst he could do?
I would think they would want to play him to get ROI, send him out there and try to
hit his
way out
of it. Yeah, because he had a big August and September last year.
Yeah, and who knows? Do you phantom DL that, or is there significant injury to the back? There's probably a few different ways.
I feel like you couldn't get away with phantom DLing it because his family would be all over it, telling people that it was a phantom DL.
And the other thing, Dan, is if they did that, then you'd give up some prospect inventory, and you still wouldn't solve your biggest problem, which is you have the worst center field play in the entire major leagues.
Sure, and that's. I mean, I'm all for Yandy Diaz figuring it out once you get him into the organization, but you're right about turning your attention to the true areas of need, and it is center and right field. No
doubt. That end, how interested do you think they are in those Marlins outfielders, both De La Cruz and, of course, the oft-mentioned Jazz Chisholm?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be awfully, awfully expensive. And, man, I think with the Nationals, you know, with Winker and Thomas, that's probably something that is more practical. Would you agree with that? I don't really see a pathway.
Well, I think it's cheaper.
It is.
I think it's, you know, Thomas is on a expiring Winker's on an expiring contract, and Thomas has only got 1 year left. So I'm guessing it wouldn't take. I know it would not take as much to get those two guys as it would Chisholm and De La Cruz.
And I'm not exactly a fan and have kind of had a no-fly zone with the rental players, but if you can get Winker for an extremely low cost, I could see him hitting fifth in this lineup quite nicely.
Dan, do you think
there's an argument he's the best hitter among the four outfielders we're talking about?
Correct.
Dan, do you think it's imperative that they add to this team one way or the other? Because I've noticed you have been pretty loath to part with prospects and all of these hypotheticals we've peppered you with today. Do you think they need, no uncertain terms, they must add a bat to this team or they are not doing their jobs as a front office?
So when you say need, I mean, I guess, like, come hell or high water and pay whatever price it is to overpay.
No. Do they just need to add somebody with a bat who is a position player?
Do they need offensive help, and could they use reinforcements? Absolutely. But when you say need, like, if they don't make a deal, which I think they will, let me start there. I think they'll figure something out. To what extent, I don't think anybody knows. And the last I checked in the last 15 minutes before I came on with you guys, there hasn't been much in the way of, like, anything newsworthy that I could bring to you. But do they need somebody to come in here and bolster their lineup? Yes. Do they need to do a deal that is completely outrageous, and by not doing so, they've somehow failed the fan base, failed the clubhouse? I'm not going to go that far, because I believe that this thing, as I've said before, has snuck up on them, and they weren't necessarily ready, and I believe their window to be more 25, 26, and 27. So I'm not going to upend, especially the upper levels of my organization in the way of pitching depth, to be able to just make a deal to say that I've made a deal. I can also see, and I know this has come from the other reporters as well, but I could see them moving major league pieces off of this roster to get other pieces as well. And I know that this would be, at the time, and especially while he has been really, really good, could Luis Ortiz potentially be moved? Could Quinn Priester potentially be moved? The areas of depth that they have, which is their starting pitching, do they value a Thomas Harrington or a Bubba Chandler or Braxton Ashcraft more than they do a Priester or Ortiz? Maybe that's the case.
What do you think? Let me ask you that question. Like, Ortiz's pitching tonight has been great. Do you think they'd rather trade Ortiz than Barco or Harrington or Chandler or any of those minor league guys, if you had to guess?
I would say, yeah. I mean, maybe not Barco. But I think Ortiz still, at the end of the day, while he has been, in many respects, one of the most valuable Pirates because of all the roles that he's filled, and he's filled extremely well, you know, there still is, I think, some question marks surrounding Luis Ortiz. Do you believe that he's completely arrived and you absolutely know what you're going to get from here to kingdom come with Luis Ortiz?
We don't know
Ortiz?
That about the guys in their minor leagues either, and at least he's done it several times at the major league level. So that's why I would be much more willing to trade those minor league pitchers.
You would trade Bubba Chandler over Luis Ortiz?
No.
I
didn't say Chandler, but like Solometto, yes.
Well, yeah, does anybody want him at this point? That's turning out to be a disaster.
I think three months ago he was untouchable, and now, I mean, so it could just be a blip on his radar.
Possibly, but again, you know, I think you're more willing to part with that than you would, you know, some like a Harrington or a Chandler.
I'm concerned about the Chisholm situation. I mentioned this to Chris earlier because they scouted him all week. They know they don't have Reynolds right now, so they're missing their best hitter. If they were convinced that those Marlins outfielders were right for them and could be acquired for the right price, I think they'd be on their way to Phoenix right now, Dan.
Possibly, but are we convinced? I mean, how good is Jazz Chisholm? I
really than what they have in center field by orders of magnitude.
Of course. But you're going down the Reynolds path just because he was, you know, he's going to be out for, I don't know, maybe a week at most. And yeah, this is a bad time to be out. But is Jazz Chisholm comes in and helps, sure. But is it going to move the needle as much as you think he's going to move the needle? I'm happy to add Jazz Chisholm here, but is it going to be measurably enough to really justify the cost? And what I think is a pretty expensive market based on what the Mariners have set over the last 24 hours.
Am I correct then to say that your preferred handling of the deadline for Ben Cherington here is he makes a move or two to get an okay bat, like a C-plus bat, somebody who's better than what they have but doesn't give up much of the farm to do it. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's exactly how I think you have to handle 2024, because I don't believe that this is the year that you put your chips in the center of the table, as like the Mariners are doing. I think the Mariners situation is much different than the Pirates situation.
But, Dan, who are the teams in the National League that you think of in a short series? Like, well, it's not worth it for us to go all out this year because we got to run into this buzzsaw.
I understand Skeens and Keller are really good, okay? And I heard what Dan Plesac said, and that's
and
really
you just
exciting.
Poo-pooed it. I could hear the tone in your voice. That was a poo-poo by you. You scoffed.
I heard major scoffage.
I heard you try to hold back a scoff there.
Do you believe the Pirates are World Series contenders? I'd like
yes.
you to put that on the record.
If they make a move, yes. De La Cruz, I'm going to say yes. To make it, yes.
The Arizona Diamondbacks were 84-78 last year and were 3 wins away from being World Series champions.
And you put the Pirates in that same classification, this version of the 2024 Pirates.
This version of the 2024 Pirates has much better starting pitching than the Diamondbacks did last year.
I understand that, but they also still, to me, have, I think, five areas of significant need.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that, Dan, but to Chris's point, we're seeing imperfect teams make playoff runs because of the randomness of it, and I subscribe to a chip and a chair philosophy with the playoffs. Just get in and see what happens, and you're right there. You're right there.
Especially now that the wild card is not a one-and-done situation.
Exactly. That's another good point.
Sure. And we're also going to try to look at some serious workload issues here with their pitchers. You're in a rock and a hard place, needing them to get to the postseason. You're going to have to ride them hard to get there. And then once you're there, it's another month to get to the finish line. Another month. And that's going to be at least five more starts, right?
Can I ask you a question then based on that answer? When you say it that way with Skeens and Jones, it almost makes me think like there might be people in that front office who would never say it on the record, but if you gave them truth serum, might tell you, hey, we're actually better off not making the playoffs because we don't want Skeens to get to 170 or 180 innings this year.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I bet you that answer would vary. I think...
Well, fact that it's not everyone saying, yeah, we want to make the playoffs, we're all in, is telling that you think that.
Well, I think that this, again, snuck up on them, and they weren't necessarily ready for their own success. Everything arrived ahead of schedule, and while that's wonderful, it's wonderful, but how do you judiciously navigate it? Can you become a victim of your own success sometimes?
Dan Zangrilli, check him out. Tonight. What time does it start, Dan? The Phoenix time F's me up.
I'm not sure. Somebody said 8:45.
Did you get a schedule?
I didn't get a schedule. Did you get a schedule?
I thought the leadoff show started at 8:45 and the game was at 9:40.
Oh, the game's at 9:40.
I've been given the wrong time for the game the whole day. All right,
whoops,
Dan.
I don't know. I might have given you the wrong time there.
Congratulations on all of your collective success.
Yes. It is a great matchup. It's Gallen versus Ortiz tonight, folks. All right, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 60. We are live at the HM3 Care Fest 2024. The hodgepodge will hit you when we come back. But first, a message from our sponsors.
We're running with the shadows of the night. So baby, take my hand, it'll be alright.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters. Donnie, get your ass over here and get in the hodgepodge. Hit it, Dom.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Donnie talking off air about someone maybe getting too drunk at this concert and tripping and falling into the pool that's in front of us. What do you think the odds on FanDuel of that happening are? Minus 110, yes. Minus 110, no.
Oh, no. I like those odds.
On the
no,
yes.
No. I don't think it's ever happened.
Well, they're
happened
the same.
Here. I don't think it's ever happened that
we,
I know
we,
of.
We have some tables that are awfully close.
It would have to be
to the water.
It would have to be one of those corner tables that there's one in particular where I could see somebody maybe tripping backwards over a heel and going in.
There was a pool.
I will stand up and applaud and probably cheer.
There was a pool outside where I got.
You should hold up a little number, like you paint a number on a thing and be like 9.2. Oh, yeah.
True story. There was a pool outside at my wedding, and I actually debated in my head when I was walking down the aisle,
jumping,
falling in.
Oh, I remember that, dude.
Wait, on purpose.
At his wedding.
Because that would, I mean, that everyone would have remembered that. I would have created
so a. So would you have in
I would have created a story for a lifetime.
Amanda sets a record.
The first
wedding to ever end in divorce before it officially became a wedding.
I'm sure that's happened before.
Man, I was.
I actually bet it has.
I was sitting behind, what, somebody like gets divorced basically before the wedding is even over?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's probably happened.
Like you
well,
don't
I
think,
mean, think about it. If people get left on the altar,
or
right,
like somebody
physically, like
how about
that
they get married, they go to
done
the reception, husband or wife, bride or groom,
cheats,
making out with somebody at the reception.
How about this? Husband or wife says the wrong name in the vows, says the name of an ex.
Oh, that would
see,
be.
If it's an ex, that's bad. But if it's just another name, I don't think that's divorceable.
Bill. I was sitting behind Julius at your wedding. Julius had an all-time performance in that trip.
Yeah, he did.
He was noteworthy.
All right, here are some events that are happening at the Olympics tomorrow that you can watch on NBC. Tell me if you would watch, yes or no. Badminton.
Yes.
Don?
When they get
if I would watch, yeah, I
when
would.
They get the shuttlecock moving very quickly,
no,
you got to watch.
I would, too. Basketball.
Not really.
I'll
casually watch it, but not that interesting.
I'm not really.
Are you saying, like a casual viewing, or like
you're
I'm
waking
locked
up,
in.
You're waking up
oh,
at
no,
9 a.m. and
in.
You're flipping through the channels, and this is what's on.
If
what
I get
saying.
Like, if I get a random yeah. matchup, if I'm getting like Serbia and South Sudan.
Serbia's playing the U.S. on Sunday. Nikola Jokic. I'll watch.
Why? Well, I told you guys what my roommates and I did during the last summer games.
No, you didn't.
Because it was like they were the COVID ones, and they got like interrupted. So then they end up playing it in 21.
Yeah, that's right.
So, the United States, I don't even know if it was actually in the Olympics or like a tune-up game. They were playing, I want to say, like Saudi Arabia or like a Middle Eastern country that was like
overmatched.
They were 59.5 point underdogs.
Oh, I bet you Jermichael Finley
all,
had them plus 59
and,
a half.
All three of us like, come on. Like they got to be able to cover 60 points.
No.
Here. They lost by 63.
No. And the U.S. beat Angola by like 85 points, the
and
original
Barkley
dream
was
team.
So mean to those Angolans.
Yes, he was.
Beach volleyball, I'm in.
Yes.
You?
Yeah.
Boxing.
Yes. Actually,
no, I'm not a fan because I have to wear all the headgear.
Well, I hate Olympic boxing because, like, it is just very prone to, like, bribery
and
shady business.
I was
going to
say the judges will screw
Roy,
you.
Roy Jones Jr. got the silver medal in 88. The decision was so bad that the guy who won the gold, because he was from South Korea and was in Seoul, he apologized to Roy Jones, and it, like, ruined his life in South Korea because even South Koreans knew he didn't win. He tried to give the gold medal back and was seen as like a fraudulent champion, even though he understood he didn't
wow.
win.
That's like when Drago lost
real,
to Rocky.
Real messed up story.
Because
it ruined the guy. No. I don't
Same.
Care.
Equestrian.
No. Did you
I
see
like
that?
It.
No, did you see that British woman got like, I think banned because she was filmed whipping the horse? Get her ass out of there.
I don't even know what
it was in dressage. It was in dressage, not equestrian.
Oh, I don't have dressage. I don't think dressage is in it this
but
year.
But I think she got banned from the Olympics. That woman should not be allowed to be near an animal again.
Field hockey.
No.
Nah.
Me neither. Gymnastics.
Yeah, I'll watch.
Yeah.
It's
I have no interest.
What they're able to do is insane.
By the way, you're killing us in the summer Olympic athlete draft.
I mean, Malzi had a good one with Biles, but I mean, yours was just.
No, he had Biles.
I picked Biles.
I had Nadia Comaneci.
That
was
a horrible
first
pick.
One.
Usain Bolt.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, everybody got, like, a top
top
dude, I went
person.
Bolt. I went Bolt Ledecky.
The Mark Spitz pick. I'm still kicking.
Well, it's because you called him Eric Spitz, then you called him Mark Smits, then you got his name wrong twice.
Handball. I'm interested.
Yes,
I'm intrigued.
Very into hand. If you've ever, I've watched it before. It's awesome. I've watched it.
I'd watch it.
Rowing.
No.
Out.
Nah.
The coxswain in rowing, I think, is such a BS thing. You're just the one standing there yelling at everybody.
Soccer. I'm going no. I already watched enough soccer this summer.
Yeah, no, I'm good on soccer.
Surfing.
No.
No.
Boring. Jeff Spicoli in there.
Way fun to do, I bet, but not fun to watch.
Table tennis.
Yes.
Oh, those get intense. Forrest Gump was in that.
Some of the rallies in the
ping pong democracy.
Some of the rallies in the some of the rallies in the like the angles that those guys hit winners from is wild.
Water polo.
No.
Nah. I like it.
I think it's like the hardest sport to actually envision.
You can
envision
get dunked, they can hold you under until you give up
like
the ball.
Waving your arms.
Did you know that?
I think I did know that, yeah.
You know what I do like? I saw a tweet the other day, now that you bring that up.
What if Marco Polo was an Olympic sport? It's people with blindfolds on in the pool. Marco!
You bringing that up reminded me of a tweet I saw the other day that I laughed pretty hard at. It just said, don't worry, if you ever feel useless, just remember there's a lifeguard for Olympic swimming.
That's a good one.
There is?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like
there's
a
dude that's just like chilling there.
It's more if somebody suffers like a true medical emergency.
Yeah, but what
I think.
That guy going to do?
He's probably CPR trained, like first response right there.
Oh, I guess that makes
but
sense.
But I mean, there's probably doctors who are also right
well, I was
going
to say, I would think like all lifeguards have to have the basic CPR.
Dom hit it.
I have an actual one here.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Don't ask me why. I was just like, because we're about a month away, I guess, from the school year. So I was like, looking up the roster of possible kindergarten teachers for Lennox. I was just like, I wonder if any of them are on Twitter or whatever, right? Just to see, like, what I'm, you know, and, like, the one teacher that we've heard a lot about is a great kindergarten teacher in our school district is on there but hasn't posted in, like, 7 years. Smart woman, okay?
Okay.
In the course of, like, oh, who does she follow? Do I know anybody? Is there any mutuals in my neighborhood? I click on one that's clearly a Montour teacher. I'm not going to say what grade or anything, but it's somebody that could theoretically teach Lennox and A someday. Has already had me blocked, possibly, possibly for years.
Now I'm praying.
That is great stuff, dude.
I caught a block from a potential Lennox and Ace teacher.
Oh, and you know that they're going to take it out. That person's going to take it out.
But I don't know what I.
That open house is going to be something.
But I don't know what I did. This is years off, for the record. But I don't know what I did to this.
You
got to
confront the teacher.
I feel like weird about it. I asked people in my neighborhood who might have known her, and they said like, eh. They knew her a little bit. They're like, you could have said or done anything. It's like a random situation. But I just imagine seeing, like, this person could teach my children someday. Block!
You know what I used to love back in the day? I don't know if you guys even had this, but I know, like, my school did. Did you guys have the thing where they would just basically post up, like, all of your teachers or, like, homeroom teachers at one of your schools in the district?
And you had to, like, drive to see it? Yes.
So, I mean, like,
do that.
They would have that at, like, the elementary schools, and I walked to elementary school, so we would just walk on over there.
See who
and
you got.
Like, yeah, and then you're, like, trying to keep note of, like,
do you think
like,
the teachers draft students like
class?
We? Do you think they have
well,
a draft?
Well, you know parents are, like, asking, you know, occasionally to, like, hey, could you, if you have a chance, like, nudge my kid into that?
That'd be good stuff.
Now, hypothetically.
Draft, like, I'm not having this kid.
So I can tell you this. So I can tell you, yeah. My mom did teach, like, 7th and 8th grade, and I'm not going to say that they're drafting kids, because at my school it was, like, there was, like, 55 kids, you know, so there's not that much going on. There's only 2 8th grade teachers. But I will tell you, I don't know if my mom ever explicitly doing this, but I know teachers will try to say, like, this kid is probably better off with you than with me or vice versa. That stuff absolutely happens.
The little trades.
Well, the real thing is it's more parents trying to get kids in to certain teachers' classes. Now, should I, if I've heard that there's one kindergarten teacher who's like the Babe Ruth of kindergarten teachers. Should I try to throw my professional weight around? Send an email maybe from the Mulsey formal email address?
I think the trade idea is funny. You're like, all right, I got 2 middling students here. This one kind of has potential.
This one's
the other
National
one,
Honor Society. This one eats his own glue stick and boogers.
Yeah, like the second one probably already reached like the ceiling and it's not all that high. But the floor is about the same.
What if it's a player for a student for student trade, but you got to throw in a really crappy student like a salary dump? You got to take little Johnny Smith there.
Oh, I bet this that happens. I'm
this
telling
this
you,
guy's terrible. Getting sent to the principal every
happens.
3 days.
All right, hit it.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
How many games do the Pirates win in Arizona, Donnie?
2. They're going to keep the series W's going. They're winning one tonight, Luis Ortiz.
Malzi with one.
You didn't look long enough.
Oh!
A deuce. Gallon's a good pitcher, though.
I think they get swept.
Oh, good. Well, that's a really cheery.
We'll bet it in now. The Pirates are going to sweep the Diamondbacks.
Pirates set record for three-game run differential, outscored Diamondbacks by 62.
They don't have Reynolds.
And so you're saying without Reynolds, it's a wrap?
I think it all falls apart. It's like pulling out that piece in Jenga.
None of you guys respect anything I just tried to do there. I said without Reynolds, it's a wrap.
That is good, Malls.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.